each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Happy Easter. What a beautiful, beautiful Easter day we had yesterday.
Oh, yes.
It was the most beautiful day in Chicago this year.
It really was.
Just unbelievably beautiful. So I wish everybody a happy Easter. We've just come through the, as everybody has, through the Triduum, and Easter Sunday is always a kind of a mystical experience, isn't it, really? I mean, in many, many ways. It's just so beautiful.
Even
with all the preparation and the, you know, you just think, how are we going to get through this? And yet, you know, when we begin, from the moment we began the Holy Thursday celebration, the Mass, it was just beautiful. Every year, I think I say the same thing. I say, gosh, I can't imagine it could be more beautiful than it was.
But it is every year that comes along.
Is it, or is it just that we're caught up in the experience of it? And so it's like, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, if you're hungry today, your bread you eat today is good for the body today, right?
Right.
I don't know. How'd you enjoy it?
I think it was beautiful.
I loved it.
Like you said, I know we always say that we're tired because each day is different, and there's so many, the tradition is so beautiful, it's so rich, and there's so many details, but once you go into the sacred Triduum, God takes control.
Doesn't he though? That's what happens.
Yeah. He takes over.
Mm-hmm. He really does. Because we were, you know, even as we were preparing on Thursday, well, just through the whole week, mm-hmm. you know, we always use the word tired because mm-hmm. it's just, there's so much happening and you're being pulled in so many different directions. It's just the way it is. And then you think, well, we can't go into this with this, you know, feeling this
tiredness
or this oppression, the mm-hmm. burden and all that, because it's just, you know, you want to make sure everything is in place and mm-hmm. there's just, and life goes on, you mm-hmm. know, life, nothing stops, but as you said, the moment we get in there, it's as if it's all kind of lifted,
yeah.
And God takes over.
Yes,
He takes over. Wow! I tell you the I don't know what's your favorite of the 3 days.
I can't say
Holy Thursday.
Holy Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I like the 3 days. Each day is different.
They're different.
So I can't choose which one I prefer. I like them all.
Yeah. For those who may not have participated in the Triduum, and I really encourage you, you know, if you didn't do it, you know, next year, do it, because it's, you just get this richness, you're drawn into the depth of, I mean, every time we celebrate the Mass, we basically were immersed in the Paschal mystery,
right.
Even if we're not conscious of it, because this is what's happening, what's unfolding, the suffering, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, you know, and our life, you know, it's a celebration of our life, you know, that we have life through His death, you know, through the shedding of His blood. But it begins on Holy Thursday, so we had the washing of the feet. Well, the Mass is the Mass of the Last Supper,
mm-hmm.
Which is the first Mass, the first celebration of the institution, I should say, of the Eucharist. We have the traditional washing of the feet, mm-hmm. because we celebrate, three different things, really, the Jesus instituting on the eve of His death the Holy Eucharist, mm-hmm. The memorial, right? That the,
mm-hmm.
the remembering, but it's not just remembering what was, but that it's the whole Paschal mystery the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. You can include in that also the ascension and the descent, the giving of the Spirit, that this is all not just remembered, but it's renewed. It's perpetuated. The salvation, the sanctifying, the salvific grace. It comes from this this pivotal moment in the history of the human race. You know, God who condescends, who takes on our flesh. Again, can I repeat? I must repeat. God the Father so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, not to condemn, but for love of the world, to save the world. Again, the question, it begs the question, do we recognize our need for salvation? And yes, the light came into the darkness, but people choose to be in the dark. They choose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. And I was thinking yesterday in the each homily was a little bit different. You know, every Mass was just, it was kind of like grace building on nature, it seems to me, you know. But by the time I got to the Spanish Mass at 11:30, and I don't know if I mentioned this at the 10 o'clock, or maybe I did, but I started because I've been really grappling with the question of salvation. You know, do we recognize our need for salvation in a personal way, as a community, as a nation, the world? Do we recognize the need so that we can, you know, begin to understand the ramifications of this incarnation? You know, God who took on our flesh, who condescends and takes on our flesh, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and lays out the plan, brings everything to fruition. He takes us. He doesn't take anything away from the law, but brings us beyond the law, and it shows us what it is we need to do to live life and to prepare ourselves for that Passover, our own Passover from this life into the next. Recipients, you know, receivers of God's mercy, God's incomprehensible love and mercy, you know, through the blood of His Son, the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So do we understand? Because if we really could grasp, understand our need for salvation, the churches would be full. But I think what's the impediment or the obstacle to our recognition of our need for salvation, for a Savior, for a Redeemer? And certainly by the 11:30 Mass, there's a couple of things. On one hand, we can say certainly we've been saved from the tyranny of the devil, the tyranny of Satan, the tyranny of sin, and the tyranny of death. So we've been set free from these things that are negatives, right? They're dark. This is the dark, the negative, but doesn't always present itself or come to us as a negative. It often comes as a light, as a good, not death so much, but certainly the devil, sin, or the enemies of the soul, whether we say the devil, the world, and the flesh, you know. But that's a world under the dominion of Satan because... Mm-hmm. You know, the kingdom has come. You know, we begin the show, I share your distress, the kingdom and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. So but what was it that, so we're saved from the tyranny of the devil, the tyranny of sin, the tyranny of death. We are not defeated. That's a point. I was trying to make that. We're not defeated.
Right.
I think this is the great good news of the Gospels. We're not a defeated people. We're a victorious people. We're in the fight. We fight the good fight, but we claim the victory to keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture, but Jesus ever alive and among us. You know, He abides within us. We safeguard and protect the life of God in the church is the sacrament that mediates the grace. But the other thing is, you know, so we're not defeated. We're not a defeated people. So I was asking the question. At the 11:30, maybe at the 10, I don't know, but the 10 o'clock Mass. But do we have hope? Do we have joy? Do we have peace? Do we have strength? And if we don't have these things, then we ask the question: what is the impediment? Because wouldn't this be the sign that we're living under the dominion of Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, that God is alive. We're not orphans, as Jesus said the night before. Again, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Better that I go, that I remain with you, that I stay with you. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will be with you. And He certainly comes to us through the Word of God and the Scriptures and through the sacraments, through the teachings of the Church. And to the extent that we allow Him possession of our lives, then He certainly comes to us through each other, right? We carry each other. Yes. Because even though we've been set free from our slavery to sin and death and from the tyranny of Satan, we're we're this side of death, so we're mm-hmm. still in the
battle.
In the battle, and that's mm-hmm. when you make reference to the tiredness. You know, we get tired. Mm-hmm. We get what do I always say? There's this assault that comes to the mm-hmm. mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. So we're not flying high. It's not all. Even though yesterday was all blue sky, warm sun, and green grass, and flowers. The trees are so beautiful.
Yes,
couldn't have been a more beautiful mm-hmm. Easter mm-hmm. day. Really, mm-hmm. I was saying at the 5:30 mass in the evening, the last mass. Because I guess it must have gotten warm as the day went on.
It did. Yeah. It did.
Because I was indoors until the in the afternoon and was able to finally get out and take a little ride. I didn't take a long ride because I was a little bit tired and I had to get back for the other mass. But when I went into the 5:30 mass, it was just so beautiful, so strange mm-hmm. to look out and see people in short sleeve shirts and no mm-hmm. jackets, no coats, no sweaters.
And the children were playing. You know, they have the Easter egg and the outfits, the Easter outfits. The little girls with the Easter.
What did you dresses. Do? Did you do anything? Go anywhere?
I rested. We went out to breakfast and we were out for a little bit, and then I just wanted to go home and just be.
Sure.
Just relax, but it was a beautiful day. And Father, you know, you were asking about the 3 days.
Yes.
And the beauty of, we've said that each day is different. And like Jerry said, the Holy Thursday, the institution of the Eucharist, the institution of the priesthood, Good Friday is so powerful because that's when our Lord, he gives, you know, he dies. And that's that moment where the earth stood still and then it shook.
Yeah.
And our Lord gave it. And it's so beautiful the way in the Spanish, in the evening.
You want to talk about what we did, you know?
Yes.
By the way, everybody, we're going to probably be a little bit all over the place today because we've just come off, as you have, as everybody has, you know, we've just been through this wonderful celebration. And it's like the day after, right? And so there's this, can I say, do I dare say, a little bit of tiredness, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, here we go again. But so we're going to, we're just.
But it's worth it.
Yeah. But go ahead and talk about the Good Friday.
Yes, yeah, it's so beautiful. And I've had phone calls of people that have experienced the Good Friday service in the evening. Are you going to do the same thing? Because we want our family to experience it. And so, yes. So in the evening, as in the English, we have the readings of the Passion. And then you do, at the end of the service, the bodies brought out. The people are carrying the body of our Lord. There's the women, our Blessed Mother, Saint John, and I think Mary Magdalene. There's some people dressed,
a few other women,
dressed in black, and our Blessed Mother. The statues carried out, and it's in procession, and with the candles, and we're singing. My dad was singing a beautiful song at the beginning of the procession as they took out the body. He was singing, "My people, what have I done to offend you?" Our Lord is saying this to everyone, to all of us, pretty much. And so you carry the body in procession to the tomb. Well, we don't have a tomb, so we put it on the altar there.
The divine mercy.
It's covered. Yeah. There's a what is it? A burgundy
curtain
in the background. Yeah. And you have the candles on each side, and it's like it reminds me of when we wake somebody, one of our loved ones, mm-hmm. at the funeral home, the body's laid out, and you go there and you reverence the body, and that's how our Lord is laid out, and that's very powerful. I every time we're there, I notice people as they're carrying out the body through the church. People are in tears; they're crying. It's very moving. It's a very moving experience, and we would encourage people to come in and see it for themselves.
It's all that, you know. The faith is, as I always say, it's a very interior, very deep, and it has to express itself, right, in a visual kind of a way, tangible ways. And this is the church is rich with symbolism and
the traditions,
absolutely. And so, as you were saying, in the statue, we have it's the kind of the Spanish thing that they do, I suppose. Certainly Spain and Latin America, the Philippines. Where they actually dress the statues, the images.
Yes.
And so the statue, Raquel Garcia is our famous seamstress, you know, and so she dresses so beautifully
her Blessed Mother.
The statue of the Blessed Virgin, the one that's carried in procession. It's almost a life-size statue, a little bit, well, not quite life-size, but it's big, and it's not a tiny one. It's a big
one.
Statue, It's just she's dressed in black. It's really the sorrowful mother, and as you said, very very solemn mm-hmm. procession going in, and then coming after the liturgy, which is so beautiful.
We have the
reading of the Passion according to Saint mm-hmm. John, and then we have
the veneration of the cross.
Well, even before the petitions.
The petitions are beautiful.
The prayers are prayed for. Just everybody's included mm-hmm. in the prayers of petition. You know. Christians, non-Christians, the Jews, non-believers, government, the sick, those who suffered tragedies of violence, and everybody is included in these. And I was thinking about that as we were praying the petitions, the prayers of petition, interceding. You know, that the whole church throughout the world, we're all praying the same prayers, mm-hmm. you know, the same prayers. It's not, you don't take from or add to those. Those are the same prayers being prayed all over the world. The Mass is the Mass anywhere you mm-hmm. go. It's the same. Mm-hmm. But you know, you just think about these petitions. We're all interceding the same prayers everywhere in the world, certainly in the Catholic world. And it's just, there's something very awesome about that, because they say nobody is left out. And they're very respectful, you know, like in the prayer for the Jews and for the non-believers mm-hmm. And other Christians mm-hmm. who are not in communion with the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. the Mother Church, as we would say. But it's just very, very beautiful. And then the veneration of the cross, you know, where the people come and and you can see that people are very moved by that as well.
That's right.
You know, they come and people come and they kiss the cross. And then we receive Holy Communion. The communion that was consecrated the evening before at the Mass of the Last Supper, and then the procession, the final. There's not even a blessing because it's a Good Friday, so mm-hmm. it's a final prayer, and then mm-hmm. The procession, as you said, and it's just very beautiful, very very beautiful. So, yeah, if you can come,
Friday,
you know,
and then the beauty of Holy Saturday, and that's full of many rituals.
Yeah.
The beginning, it's like when in the beginning when it all started. It was dark. The world was in mm-hmm. darkness. So the church is all, there's no light. And you're in the back, Father, burning the fire.
Easter fire.
Bless the Easter Paschal candle. And so the prayers are so beautiful. And as you turn the Paschal candle, and how the people with the vigil candles, each one's holding, and the light starts spreading out.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
That looks so beautiful. And as you go up to the altar, and then the readings, in the beginning, we start from the beginning. And to me, as a child, what I thought was so powerful was when the Gloria, when we sing the Gloria,
mm-hmm.
that's when they start ringing the bells, the mm-hmm. lights are turned on, and it's like he's risen. It's like the angels are singing,
right.
You know, he's alive, you know, he's risen.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
Yeah, and the altar boys love the ringing the bell.
Yes.
You know?
They start ringing it really loud,
yeah.
And then the choir's singing the Gloria. It's very powerful. Very powerful.
The Triduum, the really beautiful part is that it continues from one day to the next.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end. It's not chopped off after Holy Thursday or Good Friday. It's a continuation, mm-hmm. and it's three wonderful days. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. And we had then we go on to the Easter Sunday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Easter Sunday, and you think, because by the time we finish, now our Mass is actually quite early compared to most. You know, we started at 7 o'clock, and this year, and I should have thought about this because Easter came so late this year
mm-hmm.
that it was a little bit light outside.
I saw that.
It wasn't as dark as you know,
previous.
It's supposed to be dark.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the churches
they start at 8.
8 o'clock, 9
oh,
o'clock,
really?
10. Some
wow.
of them have them start at
midnight.
At midnight.
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes, there are some.
And if it wasn't for the fact that we had all the Masses the following day, it would be an appropriate time to do it. But we've got then 5 other Masses starting at 7:30 in the morning
That's
on Sunday.
Right.
But even there, you know, it's amazing, isn't it, how God gives you the energy, because
mm-hmm.
it was just I thought, okay, I'm going to get through this Mass, and then, but every Mass was, it's just beautiful.
We had,
by the way, thank God, you know, and I want to thank everybody who came. We had a lot of people at all the Masses.
We had
a good turnout
this
year.
Yes, there was.
Very, very nice.
There was.
You know, by the way, and you know, I was looking at, talking about the Holy Saturday. I saw pictures of the Holy Saturday liturgy at the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem.
Oh, in Jerusalem,
okay.
Yes.
And talk about beautiful with the light, you know, when they had with the lighting of the candles and all, the Paschal candle. Yes. And then it almost seems like it's a little dangerous, you know, because everybody's inside.
Right. It's really
a church within a church.
Yes, it is.
And they had a picture from the photo from the top, wow. Looking down. It was really impressive. It's a powerful symbol too.
Yes,
very powerful. Very powerful. So anyway, it was great. And then the readings, Easter readings, are just so beautiful.
Beautiful.
Take a break here, and we'll come back and look at some of that, some of those readings as well. We had we'll take a break and kind of catch our breath here and let's just see where we're going to go. This is just, it's Easter Monday, everybody. Mm-hmm. So let's just kind of relax and talk about whatever.
Enjoy the Easter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Christ gave Sister Faustina Kowalska the gift of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. This coming Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and pray with us. Visit sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org for the complete schedule of Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and the Novena of the Recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, corner of Evergreen and Noble. That's 2 blocks north of Division on Evergreen, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us, and happy Easter. Tony, I didn't even realize you were not here.
I figured as much. Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Just like you said, everyone's tired. Well, I was really tired.
Yeah. Why were you tired?
It's a long story.
I got a message from Andrew, our altar boy.
Yes.
He said, it ran smooth because I was there.
That's true. He is so egocentric, you know. He's never going to learn.
But he came in from college.
He had a good teacher.
Just for the weekend.
He did. He gets paid well.
Yes. You
know, no, I'm just joking. No, he does. He's the best.
He is. Everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Since he's listening, I'll say that he's the best. No, he really does. He keeps.
Order.
I'll tell you, it really makes it go smooth. Mm-hmm. So, but he should give credit to the Holy Spirit, to Almighty God. You know, get the attention off himself, right, Andrew? You hearing? You listening? he's great. He looks like one of the apostles as well. You know?
Like his father.
Yeah, exactly.
His father was one. Yeah. Oh, Tony was too.
Yes.
So, Nick, how was your Easter, by the way? I got to ask.
I did all right. I made it to church in the morning,
Thank God. That worked out fine.
So you can be happy that I did that. My folks and I, we went to 8 o'clock Mass, went home and had breakfast, and we watched one of my dad's favorite Easter cartoons. The Easter Bunny is coming to town today, which is like Santa Claus, too, which is really cool. We watch it all the time. And then they had to get things done around the house, and then I had to work later, too.
Okay, so since I'm sitting here hungry, I want to know what you had for breakfast.
Let me think. Pierogi, Polish sausage, and Hawaiian rolls were up there,
nice.
I think. So we had a pretty pretty easy breakfast like that. But it was nice, and
good.
We didn't know how much to make, but it went really good. And it was
good.
One of the few times we ate around the table, too,
good,
which
yeah,
was great. But it was a nice, quiet Easter, and my folks, like I said, they just had things to get done around the house later.
Yeah.
And I was doing all right. A lot of my friends were spending time with their families, too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
great.
It was a good one.
Good. And Tony, how was yours?
It's good.
Was it? You were
good.
In Mass. You did the reading. You did a beautiful
job. Yes, Tony. You did beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's why I was glad I wasn't on to hear all you guys talking, because I don't have a favorite day. I think it's so beautiful.
It's all beautiful.
The whole
of it is just, yeah.
I would always say that Holy Thursday was my favorite, but then, you know, because I've had really nice experiences on Holy mm-hmm. Thursday, and maybe it's the institution of the priesthood and all mm-hmm. that too, but I tell you, really, this year I was even thinking, especially with the Good Friday, I thought, wow, this was so beautiful. And then Holy Saturday mm-hmm. was so yes. nice. We had the YTM, the young, the youth of the third millennium.
Yes.
They've been here for many years. They come in, yeah. mm-hmm. they do this all over the, not just the nation, but all over the world. Mm-hmm. Actually, Pope John mm-hmm. Paul II planted the seed, because when he was in Denver at the youth yeah. jubilee, he made mention that, yeah, calling the young people to the new evangelization. And so they, and from this, developed this missionary endeavor under the umbrella of the Regnum Christi mm-hmm. and the Legionnaires of Christ. And these young people get together all over the world. We have them here. We've had them. Mm-hmm. We had one of the first, actually.
The
first in
millennium,
Chicago.
Right?
Maybe.
2000, somewhere maybe. Around there it started.
Could have been. It might have been. Uh-huh. Youth for the third millennium.
Yes.
Yeah, that would mm-hmm. be right. And so they came. They come during Holy Week, and they're in retreat, and then they're in mission. They do different things. By the way, you know what they did, which was so neat? By the way, you got to remember this for next year. They carried the cross. They made a state like the Stations of the Cross from Holy Name Cathedral okay. to Holy Trinity High School.
Oh,
wow!
So that's Chicago and State over here to Division and Noble Street. So that's, I don't know, what is that, a couple of miles or something?
That's,
I don't know.
A good couple
I'm not
miles.
Good at mm-hmm. calculating. But anyway, here's what they did. So they were, and how many? There were probably.
It was quite a
lot.
Yes.
You know, it was so nice. And they were, and the girls that were here, we had the girls were here. The boys were at another place, different places. They were all over the.
How come we never get the boys?
I don't know. I guess it's just I don't know.
It'd be nice to get the boys one day.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Because it's a different experience.
Exactly. No, but I think it's. They just, I don't know. That's mm-hmm. a good question. Never.
We should
never,
get the boys yeah. one next year then.
But what they did is they brought the cross and that in procession, you know, through the streets, and they went to people and asked them for their prayer intention.
Ooh. Oh, that's very nice.
And if the people said, okay, I want to pray for my sick grandmother, mm-hmm. then they would write it and they would nail it to the cross.
Mm.
They would
wow.
nail it or
beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Paste it to the somehow to the they would yeah, attach it to the cross.
Yeah.
So they said, so it was a very interactive kind of a thing, and the people responded unbelievable. First of all, to see all these mm-hmm. young people, mm-hmm. you know, doing this, and then that they go out of themselves. So what a nice way, you know, to evangelize,
yes,
right?
Beautiful.
It's just mm-hmm. to go in, and rather than just ask, you know, we're praying. Can we pray for? Yes. Do you have a special need or something? And people were just very responsive. They said that was a highlight of the. The whole week
that's
for them.
Beautiful. Because that includes everybody. Everybody has intentions.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. So that was the youth for the third millennium. And then they had the big mass. They gathered from all the different places, I think at St. James,
okay.
Yesterday for the mass. We had the mass here once. There we had all the boys and the girls.
Yes, that's right.
Church was packed. Can mm-hmm. you imagine? This big church of ours was just packed with young people. Yeah. I'll never forget that. That was really nice. But anyway, no, it was beautiful. The Pope, did you want to add anything to that?
No.
Sorry,
no,
I just don't want me to cut you off there, but
no,
I have a way of doing that, I suppose. You know?
We're used to it.
You're used
yeah,
to
it's
it.
Family. Oh, by the way, Father, there was a beautiful picture. No, yeah, talking about family, there was a beautiful picture of your mother.
Yeah, by the way, she had, and those were yes. her, you know, when Nick was talking about his family, and I haven't been home for Easter since, I guess it's been over 30 years, maybe 40 years, if you can imagine, that seems a little weird even to say that, but certainly not as a priest and as a seminarian, I don't think I was ever home for Easter, so it's probably been about 40 years
wow.
since I left home. Mm. That puts me way up there, doesn't it, really?
Not really.
But my mother still keeps it. So I found out they still keep the tradition. That's, she makes these rolls, like a sweet roll with puts jelly beans in there and all that on top, you know.
It was a nice picture.
And so she was there, and they had all the eggs.
The eggs, color, you know. The ham, and all the traditional
yeah.
Easter breakfast. They had the Easter breakfast.
The Easter breakfast, yeah. And then they had then later.
The dinner.
Did you see a picture of the
There's
dinner?
Pictures of
oh,
your
I didn't
mother.
See that,
yeah, I have to show you.
I always
yeah.
get the pictures via Christina. but then they had my sister texted. One of my sisters sent me a text and said they were expecting about 50 people there in the evening. Mm-hmm. For there's two hams and all that kind of stuff, and everybody brings food. So just talk food, you know. I'm a little bit hungry. The soup kitchen smells really good. Whatever they're making in the soup kitchen today, it smells very good.
You could smell that meat.
Hey, by the way, since Andy's probably listening, I don't think his mother didn't bring the, she always brings that soup for Good Friday, doesn't she?
She brought it during the Lent. She did bring it during Lent.
Just once.
Mm. Yeah, would.
I'm just joking. But I bet that the soup kitchen smells good.
So it does smell good.
So anyway, so where are we going to go? I'm just kind of, I just don't feel like doing anything today, really. But I'm preparing the letter for next week because we got okay, so that's coming up now, Divine Mercy Sunday.
A little respite, but there's still more.
Big celebration, the octave of Divine Mercy Sunday. It's going to be nice. So I'm preparing the letter for that. I tell you, let me just share with you. Let's just go back to Easter because we're in Easter season.
Right.
We're going to be in Easter season for how many days?
50.
40 days to the Ascension, and then 50 days to Pentecost.
Right.
So I asked that question at the evening Mass.
See how if they know.
And somebody, Maria Guzman was in the second row, I think first or second row, and she said 50 days. I said, because I wanted to say 40 days, you know, because it's 40 days of Lent, and we got 40 days of Easter, but really it's a 50, just 40 days to the Ascension from the, so Jesus is walking among the people, in the midst of the people for 40 days. What's that?
Your mother.
Oh,
your
there mother. She is. How about that? Oh, nice. With her dog.
Technology.
Yeah, she sings to those dogs, and they sing back.
They sing back?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
She's got chihuahuas.
Oh, that's the Easter.
Oh, yeah, that makes me hungry. Yeah. The food.
Oh,
the
nice.
Food,
yeah.
Because meat, you know, I can eat meat now.
Yes, yeah. That's what I was saying. It smells, that meat smells good.
Yeah, it's,
I got to admit, I gave up coffee and had it yesterday.
And it wasn't the same?
It's not the same.
Not the same anymore.
It's not the same. I think I'm finally past that.
You really? Yeah. Yeah. This is good.
I was talking to Beata. She said, you can't, I could never give up coffee. And I said, that's why you should.
Perhaps.
So.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I had the meat yesterday. It was great.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Karen, who's a good cook as well. And
Karen gave
sausage and ham.
Sausage.
I had a couple of hams.
Sausage, yeah.
There's a little ham, for one person.
Oh, we forgot to mention, now that we're talking about the food, is that a Polish tradition, the blessing of the Easter baskets?
Yes, that's right. We had that as well.
You had that at
3. And that's interesting, too, because normally that, before the restoration of the liturgy to its proper, the masses to their proper place, the Mass was Holy Saturday was, the Mass was celebrated in the morning, which doesn't really make any sense, you know.
That's what Jerry, you were saying.
Right.
That's what it was, right.
And so that's why the blessing of the baskets should happen after the Holy Saturday Mass, but it's still, in all the churches, they bless them.
They still do.
Because the water is blessed at the Holy Saturday Mass. We have the blessing of the water, the blessing of the fire, the light, and all that. And
so there's churches that use, for the blessing of the Easter baskets, they use the incense because the water's not blessed yet until the evening.
Oh, I never heard that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. They do that.
And so in the baskets, you have all the Passover foods. You know, you've got, since we're on the topic of food, you have the lambs, they have ham, the sausage.
Mm-hmm. The eggs.
The
lamb cakes.
The cakes, the pastries, and all that.
The butter.
And by the way, I was reading, too, that that's really where the tradition of the children's Easter basket comes out of, that tradition.
Yes.
Of the blessing of the food for Easter. I didn't realize that. So the children, they would bring their baskets with their chocolates and their candies and their eggs and all that. But the purpose of it was the blessing of, because you're breaking the fast.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're breaking the fast. So now, because in many places and for many people, like myself, not that I'm bragging, but I abstained from meat for the whole of 40 days and only slipped up maybe
a couple of times.
Well, Jerry had to remind me, you know, that I did slip up, you know, because I was kind of.
I knew you'd want to know, Father.
Jerry's good.
Because I was kind of not bragging about it, but I just, you know. And
I
she
did
said,
eat one day when the bishop was here.
Exactly,
he gave us a dispensation.
That's right.
But that I was good.
Yeah. I did the same thing. That was that. And it was only, I only had a couple of pieces of chicken just to, because it was the confirmation. The bishop said, you know,
that chicken was good.
Break
that
the,
chicken
the
was
fast
good.
And yeah, you know, and so it was that day. And then Karen tempted me with corned beef.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. Is there a dispensation for St. Patrick's?
No, not that I know. No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just asking. Not
people
that I
ask
do
for it.
Sometimes when it's on a Friday, they might do that. But she had it all wrapped in freezer wrapping, so mm-hmm. I could put it in the freezer. So I just tasted. I only had a little bit. I had just a little piece of the corned beef. So that was the second time. What was the third time, Jerry?
I thought there was something over at the school.
No,
there was some kind of a meal over there.
No, there was on Wednesday. You had your Wednesday gatherings, and they had there was chicken
oh, that's
there,
what
and
it
you
was.
Had that with
oh.
pasta. Yeah,
yeah, I had a piece of chicken there too.
Yeah.
So that was three times. So I three times. I'm
three
and,
times,
and I made it a point just a
so
bite.
So you fell three
like
times.
A little bite, a bite the chicken here, a bite a chicken there, and a bite of
that chicken
corned
was
beef,
good, yeah.
And that was it. So I think I did pretty well.
You did.
You know, all right, and so that's a reason. So that's a breaking of the fast, mm-hmm. and that's why mm-hmm. you'd have the blessing of the. The sausages and the ham and all those food. There's a symbol. There's a prayer that goes with each mm-hmm. food. I should have brought that prayer with me.
The,
maybe I'll do that one.
The
of these
season.
Days.
Well, you have the salt, the pepper,
get the herbs,
the
you get the
herbs,
horseradish,
the bitter herbs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
The
bread.
The
unleavened.
The
bread.
Sausage. Now, what would the sausage symbolize? So we're talking. This is all within the context of the Passover and Easter. You know, but the sausage is the chains. The break the chain,
oh,
right?
Okay.
The
sausage links.
Of sausage.
Yeah, okay.
So you break the chain, being bound to the slavery, you know, in chains, chained to sin, chained to death, or mm-hmm. the slaves and chained. And so all this, the sausage was, you know, the sausage represent the liberation from the chains have been broken.
And the horseradish.
The lamb, of course, the horseradish, the bitter herbs.
The bitter herbs is the suffering.
Yeah, the eggs. Somebody asked me the other day, what about the eggs? Or the Easter bunny. They said, why is a bunny? Why is the Easter bunny?
I never thought of that.
The eggs.
What do you think that is?
You said, I know it last time because you said it. I was there when you told them.
I don't know.
Fertility, life.
Oh, okay.
Coming out of the tomb, you also said.
That was the, eggs.
The Easter eggs.
The Easter egg. The little chick breaks the mm-hmm. the little chick. But unfortunately,
the chickies
doesn't get a chance because those
no.
eggs are boiled.
I know.
Hey, that's not fair.
But anyway, that's what that is that the eggs are just a symbol of resurrection.
Yes.
I understand one time you commented on how much food somebody had in a basket because they were asking for it to be blessed.
It was a huge basket.
Yeah, you brought it to their attention. Boy, you got a lot of food in there.
Did I?
Oh, yeah. They must be hungry.
To Mike.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you one thing. You know, I was going through the church, and this was at 3 o'clock, and you could smell the sausage.
Yes.
It was
it's very intense.
Talk about getting hungry.
Yes.
And can't wait for the mass to be over to break the fat, you know, but Lucy had a great big basket full of sausage.
Wow.
And it was cut sausage because she was taking it to the ballpark, you know, for the students or her daughter's on a baseball team.
Oh, okay.
So she was going to treat them all to this feast, you know.
Wow.
So, they had
it was
all
a huge, heavy basket.
Huge. It was, but it was because it was sliced, the sausage. Mm-hmm. The whole place was smelling of sausage. It smelled really good.
Or like the lamb butter, the lamb's
butter.
And I could see the cakes that are, or the breads that are shaped as a lamb, but Sophie, which... Happy birthday, Sophie, our organist.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday to her.
She mentioned one day she went to a blessing by her house, Easter basket blessing, and everybody had their baskets, and she said there was this woman with a huge cake shaped as a crocodile.
Crocodile?
Yes. Which we have no, where's the connection? I don't know. It's just...
He ate all the lambs.
He ate all the lambs?
I wouldn't have blessed that.
She said, I don't know what that was about.
It gotta be a lamb.
I know.
I don't know if I even saw a lamb this year.
You didn't
cake.
Say the Easter. Mm. I've seen little lamb cakes, but it's mostly the Easter.
I've got lamb butter.
The lamb
butter.
Yeah,
I've heard of the butter
lambs.
Yeah. We used to get that a lot too.
I got that.
So. Yeah.
Wow. The crocodile.
And also the wine. They bring wine too, like in the symbol.
Vino.
Of,
yeah. Yes, uh-huh. Yes. Wine. Mm-hmm. I'm getting thirsty now.
Hungry
find
and thirsty.
Me a lamb cake.
Anyway, I want to talk about what the Pope said, but
yes.
I kind of like to stay on this topic of food. Gosh, that was, and you know, people, in fact, it was really funny because people, you know, you hit the jackpot when, with the Easter, the blessing of the baskets because everybody gives you something. Not
That's
everybody,
right.
But people do.
Jackpot.
And I was talking to, you know, the parents and their children.
And you make
there.
A purpose to go see them so
right.
you get something.
I do. I do. So, but anyway.
It's called begging.
So I went to shake the little, the son's hand, you know, I went uh-huh. to shake his hand and. And he thought I was taking the egg. It's like he had an egg. And I said, no, I'm not. I don't. He wanted to give it to me, but it's not that I was just taking it. You know, I didn't know he had it until he, you know, so anyway. And then Mary Jo came with her children, her plan, and she bakes all the breads and all that kind of stuff, too. So it was really, really
It's
nice.
A beautiful tradition. It's of, yeah, because it's not only the food, but there's a symbol. There's something, the meaning
behind
it.
Yeah, I don't have it with me, but there's a prayer for it. The prayer goes on for a while because there's prayer for the wine and the champagne and for the lamb and for the bread and for the sausage links and the ham and all that stuff. So anyway, all right, we should take a break and come back, I suppose. We will be back for sure.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Get a little bit serious about some things here, too. We're not being...
It's just a celebration of the Easter.
You don't want it to end.
Yeah. No, it's just a beginning.
I just don't want to think. I was saying this morning, I just, you know, I'm kind of thought out, spoken out, too. You know, it's like I don't want to talk, but I like to talk, and so I do talk, but without much thinking, you know. So.
No.
Anyway, but we will take a break. We'll come back and put our thoughts together and have something a little bit more substantial, perhaps, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Mm. However the Spirit leads us. Mm-hmm. Right, I'll be back. We'll be back, right? You guys aren't going anywhere, so we'll be back.
We're here.
Father Anthony, you're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Christ gave Sister Faustina Kowalska the gift of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. This coming Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and pray with us. Visit sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org for the complete schedule of Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and the Novena of the Recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, corner of Evergreen and Noble. That's two blocks north of Division on Evergreen, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, and I invite you to join me on the Light of the East pilgrimage to Rome and Istanbul to celebrate the canonization of Popes John Paul II and John the 23rd. In addition to celebrating the sainthood of two world-renowned popes, this trip will be a powerfully moving and truly unforgettable experience of the Church breathing with both lungs, East and West. We will visit major religious and historical sites of the ancient Roman and Byzantine empires, and you will hear from people who actually knew these two saintly popes. I guarantee you will never see the Church the same way again, and you will be making your personal contribution toward the cause in which these two popes were committed, unity in the Church between East and West.
Join Father Loya Tuesday through Thursday, October 21st through October 30th for this spiritual event of a lifetime, the pilgrimage to Rome and Istanbul. Limited spaces, reserve early by going to vikingtvl.com. That's vikingtvl.com for all the details. October 21st through the 30th, sponsors Orientale Lumen Foundation and Viking Travel.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us, and a happy Easter to everybody. I just don't feel like doing much of anything today, you know. I got a few, let me share. I'll share a little bit of what the Holy Father said.
Good.
I think that would be important,
sure.
Right? Because this is his message to the world. But he said that the Church certainly echoes the angel's message to the women.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been risen. Come see the place where he lay. And he says, this is the culmination of the gospel. It's the good news par excellence. Jesus, who was crucified, is risen. This event is the basis of our faith and our hope. If Christ were not raised, Christianity would lose its very meaning. I was thinking about that, too. You know, it's so true. Where would we be if we didn't have that, if we didn't profess faith in Christ Jesus risen from the dead? As I say, you know, he's not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. So it's not just we're just reading about somebody who lived 2,000 years ago. But the fact is, or even if it was about God who lived 2,000 years ago, indeed it is, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's the fact that he's very much alive.
Mm-hmm.
He's among us. He's within us. And he speaks to us. Mm-hmm. He comes to us.
He's very much part of our lives.
Exactly, yeah. So it's and that's what makes the Triduum so powerful, too, because you walk. That's why the tears, you know, and you talk about the very solemn procession after the Mass on Holy Thursday, it really is symbolic of the procession.
Yes, it's beautiful.
To the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's the other thing you guys went. Well, we talked about that on Friday.
Yes, the seven churches.
The different churches and all that. But the this is a very solemn procession. I love the, what are you guys saying?
The Pange Lingua.
Beautiful. So beautiful. It's very beautiful. In any case, if Christ were not raised, Christianity would lose its very meaning. The whole mission of the church would lose its impulse.
Mm-hmm.
And for this is the point from which it first set out and continues to set out ever anew. So the message which Christians bring to the world is this, that Jesus, love incarnate, died on the cross for our sins, but God the Father raised him and made him the Lord of life and death. And in him, in Jesus, love has triumphed over hatred, mercy over sinfulness, goodness over evil, truth over falsehood, life over death. And I always think of those words of Jesus. You know, he says, for those who love God, all things work for the good. Again, we're never defeated. We're not defeated in life nor in death. Are we defeated? We may seem to be defeated, but we have to claim the victory. Mm-hmm. We have to know that God is with us and he sees us through. And this is where we give witness, because we know what good God has done for us, each and every one of us, if we're just open, receptive. And even if we're not, you know, it's just, you know, God will do good things for us to try to open our eyes to his presence, you know, among us, to try to bring us to faith. And we have to do that for each other. In any case, but if we consciously choose to go away, you know, then it's a choice we make. Mm-hmm. Again, people chose, the light came into the world, but people chose the darkness. Mm-hmm. They chose darkness. They chose not to come into light for fear their deeds be exposed. So I don't know, did I answer that question about, I don't think I had to see, here's where I'm all over the place, but when I said, what is the impediment or the barrier, the obstacle to having hope and joy and peace and strength? I didn't answer that question, did I?
Mm-mm.
But what is it? What would be, if you don't have peace, you know, this is the Easter gift, really, of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Be at peace. If nothing to fear, be at peace. I've conquered sin. I've conquered death. But he also said the night before he died, you're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have persecution. You're going to be hated, you know, because you don't, you're in the world, but not of the world. You love the world. You love life, but you're under my dominion, not under the dominion of Satan. Or sin, or darkness, that comes masquerading as light. I don't know, but what is the impediment? So if we don't have, even if we're in suffering, if we're in trial and tribulation and distress, persecution, whatever it might be, whatever suffering there is in the head, in the mind, in the body, the soul, the spirit, we suffer. But what? But we do so, nonetheless, in hope, and there's a deep-seated joy,
mm-hmm.
and a peace, and a strength that comes from God, and that is, you know, sustained with the help of others, right? All this. So that if I'm in the depths of darkness, experiencing some kind of a tragedy, whatever it might be, then I find strength from you, right? We have to strengthen each other, keep each other. That's why the church, that's what Jesus founded the church. So what would be the impediment? What would be the obstacle to our having peace, joy, hope, or strength?
Ourselves. When we just give up, when we lose hope, when we, it's the sin. And there's another word I can't think of. It starts with a D. Depression. It's when we just give
despair.
Up. Despair. When we just give up.
But what would be, the impediment to that would be what keeps us from the Easter gift, let's just say the Easter gift of God's peace, is a lack of humility, I think.
Because
humility says, you know, that I have to say, okay,
I
have to admit to myself before God that I need you. I need a Savior.
Yes.
I need a Redeemer. By the way, I was thinking the other day, because I mentioned, I said, you know, people will sometimes make an accusation against Christianity or Christians as people who need crutches. But doesn't everybody? Because if it's not that we have, that we're sustained by the faith, in faith, you know, Jesus becomes a crutch in a good sense.
Because he's our hope. He's our,
because without him, there's no life. He's life.
Yeah. He's everything, yeah.
He's life. And if it's not, you know, Christ Jesus, I mean, what brings people to to end up in enslaved or addicted to this or that or whatever, right?
Their crutches are other
crutches,
things.
Other things. Other things. So when we say crutch, it's not a I suppose I'm saying it's a given in life that we can't do it all.
We can't do it.
It's impossible. You can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, if it's not God, it's going to be something else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if it's God, you're talking about life.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about life, and the source of all life,
mm-hmm.
and the source to, you know, who brings genuine peace and hope, keeps us in hope. And so the impediment to that, the impediment to knowing, having the experience of Easter hope, Easter peace, Easter joy, and the strength that comes from the Spirit is our lack of humility.
Yes.
If I can admit that I need God, I need a Redeemer, I need a Savior, you know, that I'm not defeated, you know, then yes, of course, but it's not the a false hope, it's not a false joy, a superficial joy. It's not a false peace.
It's a genuine.
Genuine. It's deep. It's something that's
It's very
deeply.
Real.
Yes.
It's more real than most anything else.
Yes.
So when we find that, as the Pope will say it, and as he said in his address, when we find that, when we come into the experience, we have the experience of Jesus alive, who died for our sins, that God the Father raised him up, made him Lord of life and death, and in Jesus, love has triumphed over hatred, mercy over sinfulness, goodness over evil, truth over falsehood, life over death. Then we feel compelled to tell others, as the apostles did, come and see, come and see. And that was the thing Mother Teresa used to say that all the time. You know, people were drawn to her and drawn to her work. And they would ask her all kinds, and she says, come and see, come and see. So in every human situation, which is marked by a frailness, by sin and death, the good news is no mere matter of words, but it's a testimony to unconditional and faithful love. It's about leaving ourselves behind to encounter others, being close to those crushed by life's troubles. So we go back to what I was saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sharing with the needy, standing at the side of the sick.
Yep.
There are the side of the elderly, the outcast. But so the elderly, I have to tell you, this is how God is so good. So this woman, 90 years old,
wow,
quite a bit older than you, Jerry.
Yes.
She just turned 90, Filipino woman, Vilorio. Her name is Vilorio. She came on my birthday. Now, she has to think about this. She, 90 years old, a wonderful, wonderful woman. She was on a pilgrimage.
Was she on the pilgrimage?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I know who that is. Yeah. Valoria.
Valoria.
Yeah.
She was on a pilgrimage back in the year 2000, I think, or something.
Yes, I remember.
So she lives way north in Chicago. Mm-hmm. She has to come. She's 90 years old. She has to come take three buses.
Wow.
On my birthday, she took three buses. A 90-year-old woman took three buses to bring me a present on my birthday.
Ooh.
And I wasn't even here. You know, I didn't know she was coming. She didn't call. She just came and left it here. But took three buses to get here. Three buses to go back home.
Mm.
So she showed up yesterday at Mass.
Oh.
And she was at the English Mass at 10 o'clock and at the 11:30 Mass, 90 years old.
Wow.
And I asked her, when I saw her at the back of the church with a group of people, I said, how'd you get here? And she said, I took the buses, you know. and I mean, she...
It's surprising. She doesn't look 90 either.
Well, no, but she's 90. She's 90.
But she's 90.
And she moves very, very slow, very slow, slower than you, apparently. And so anyway, so after the 11:30 Mass, as I'm going, you know, and now this is, my fourth Mass?
Yes.
Back to back. And because it was in the back of the church, there was no break between the Masses.
Mm-mm.
So she, I saw her praying before the Blessed Sacrament. I said, oh, she's still here. So, but I didn't think anything of it. I just, you know, let her pray. I'm not going to bother her prayer. And I was just tired.
Wiped out.
I wiped out. So I just wanted to. So anyway, so a little bit later. This was probably about 3:30.
Well,
I decided, you know, I'm just gonna take a ride. I just need to get out. It was so beautiful outside. I hadn't been outside. I'm gonna just take I was very, very tired. So I'm gonna just take a ride, and pray that I don't fall asleep. You know,
that would be nice. Yes.
No, I wouldn't fall asleep. But I just gonna take a little ride. You know, just get outside for a little bit before I only have about an hour because I have to get back for the evening Mass. And so I went down the street, and who's crossing the street?
No
way.
Yes. And there she's just slowly crossing the street, you know.
I think I can.
And I
think
thought, I yeah, exactly. And so she had her glasses on. She looked like a movie star. She had
sunglasses.
And so she crossed the street, and then I pulled up to the corner, and I said, Valorio, Valorio. And she looked. She didn't recognize, because I only had a white shirt on. I had a white shirt. Mm-hmm. I had my sunglasses on, too, so I looked like I was from Hollywood as well. And so she didn't know who I was, and she said this in a wonderful smile, and I said, she's like, you know, I said, come. And she just, no, like, who are you?
She's like, I don't know you. I don't trust you.
And I said, I'm Father Tony. And she said, oh, she said, see how God, come, I'll take you home. And she said, see, and she got in the car, she's so beautiful, so precious. She said, you see how God takes care of me?
Yes.
See how God takes
care
of me?
She's got a big spot.
Yeah. So I took her home, and then she, and by the way, it was so wonderful because it kept me awake, you know, listening to her.
Right.
Because she talked the whole time, and she told me, she's got the sharpest mind, and she told me all about her, you know, her childhood, and her father died when she was only 6 years old, and how her mother, and she said she and her sisters were very attractive, and so her mother didn't want them to, she kept them away from the boys and all that. But she, you know, thought, and had she told me how she raised her own children and all that, it was so beautiful. I thought, you know, we need to get her on the radio to talk about,
yes.
I mean, talk about the wisdom of the old. Really, I'm serious. It was just so beautiful. So I just saw, and so I got her to her home. She lives way north. I got back here, and it was just perfect. It was just beautiful. So I thought God just...
He takes care of his own.
Yes. Yeah.
And took care of me, too, because it was just a nice having this conversation.
You didn't fall asleep?
No.
That kept you awake.
And listen to her. And so I mean, those are the, for us, you know, I'll tell you what, for people who are believers, these are, when we talk about these little epiphanies, little manifestations, like she immediately, she said, see how God takes care of me?
Yes.
I thought, you better believe it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the angel of the Lord. I've come here. No, you know, I'm just joking, but you know, but that's we see in these things God's hand.
Yes.
You know, God's providence.
How He works everything, all the pieces He puts
Absolutely.
Together, and how He puts people in at the right time.
Because He knows His own. You know, He knows His own. And like He said the night before He died, He says, "You know, I'm not going to leave you orphans." He says, "I'm better that I go that I remain with you." You know, and so He is. And that's what we celebrate in this Easter. That's what we got to say, come and see. We got to tell people the good news. If there's something in your life, you know, like this woman would never hold back anything. She would tell people, you know, and she's so proud of her, in a good way, very proud of her family and proud of the things that she's done. She
sure.
was in life, you know, she was the president of this woman's and she still has a lot of influence.
Every time she comes up to me, she'll come a couple of times to the church. Do you remember me? She remembers.
Yeah.
We were on the pilgrimage. I'm like, how can I forget you?
Yeah.
I can never forget you.
And she remembers, because she told me, you know, she said, your anniversary of ordination is the 25th of May.
Yes.
Okay, I'm saying that so that everybody remembers.
Yes.
But she tells me, she remembers that. She
said, so she reminds you.
Yeah, she does. And she says, I pray for you every day. You know, that's the experience of Jesus risen from the dead.
Yes.
As He reveals Himself through the goodness of others.
Yeah.
And they don't hold back. I say they point to the Lord, you know, in all gratitude to Jesus Christ and thanksgiving to the Lord who is ever present to me and is taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there can be, in 90 years old, body broken, barely moving, but, you know, a joy.
Mm-hmm.
A joy, a hope, a peace, and the strength that comes from the Spirit. There. It's a wonderful way to end the show, right?
Yes.
A little bit of an experience of the risen Christ in our midst. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Happy Easter. We'll be back tomorrow. And have a nice day, a beautiful day. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.